إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. وبعد، الله جل جلاله says in his noble book, والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا فوسطن به جمعا. The interpretation of the meaning of these verses: by the seas that run with panting breath, striking sparks of fire by their hooves, and scouring to raid at dawn, and raise the dust in clouds the while, penetrating forthwith as one into the midst of the foe. Dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam, similar to the surah or the chapter that we discussed last week, this particular surah that follows it, that is the surah, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا, this particular chapter also reminds the human being of his life in this world and his life in the next life. And it highlights those things that will make him successful in this life. Those things that make him successful in this life are the things that will give him salvation in the next life. So this chapter is one of the many chapters that begins with a qasam, that begins with swearing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us in this surah, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا, by the adiyat, when they make the dhabh. The scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they say that it's not permissible to swear by anything other than Allah. It is not permissible to swear by an angel. It is not permissible to swear by the Kaaba. It is not permissible for one to swear by one's mother, or one's father, or by a grave, or by the sun, or the moon, or the stars, or mountains, or any other created thing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can swear by whatever He wants, because He is Al-Khaliq Al-Bari Al-Musawwir. He is the creator of everything by Himself. And He is the owner of everything by Himself. And He is the administrator of everything by Himself. And He is the one who brings into existence when there was nothing. And He is the one who makes the shape and the fashion and the forms of everything. It is permissible for the Muslim to say, Wallahi, I swear by Allah. It is permissible for the Muslim to say, Wa Rabbi al-Kaaba, I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. But it is not permissible for the human being to swear by anything except Allah. But in this surah, like other short chapters of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah by swearing by something created, and He can do whatever He wants, whenever He wants, however he wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا. By the adiyat, when they make the dhabh, the scholars of Islam, the scholars of tafsir, Quran, they differ. That is, they have a difference of opinion concerning what is the reference in the first verse of this noble surah, this incredible chapter of the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions al-adiyat, swearing, wal-adiyat. The first opinion is the opinion of some of the Sahaba, radwanullahi alayhim ajma'een, where they say that al-adiyat are al-ibl. Al-adiyat is al-ibl, or camels. And some of the companions that say that those animals that are galloping and that are running swiftly are the animals that are used for Hajj, which are camels. And this was the opinion of Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because this chapter, as some of the Sahaba say, is a Meccan chapter or Meccan surah. So they're traveling from Arafah and Muzdalifah and from Muna for the rituals or the monastic al-Hajj, for the rituals of pilgrimage. And the second opinion of the scholars of Islam, beginning with the Sahaba, is that of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. That is, the al-adiyat are the galloping animals, which are the khayl, the horses, or the steed horses. Those animals that produce the dhabh from within themselves. And the dhabh is the panting, and the neighing, and the whinnying sound that emits from them when they gallop. And those muriyat cause the rocks to produce the qadh, the sparks which their hooves when they strike the rocks. So this chapter, dear brothers and sisters of Islam, is informing us of the great act of worship called al-jihad. Jihad in the way of Allah, fighting the enemy for Allah. And when they make the raids, stirring at the time of subh, meaning the time of fajr, because the companions who were the best of people after the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to attack those villages under the command and leadership of the best of commanders sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah. And they used to wait with the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam outside the village they intended to attack shortly before the subh, shortly before the period of fajr. And if they heard the azan being called, they would not attack. But if there was no azan, if there was no azan heard, then they would attack. And the scholars of Islam, they tell us that this is one of the clear indications that a Muslim should have the appearance of Islam outwardly. This is the proof that the Muslim should have, especially in the lands of disbelief, like America and Britain and Australia and France and Germany, the Muslim should have some type of appearance of Islam. For if there is no appearance of Islam, you may be attacked by the Muslims. So if they heard no azan, they would attack. And this is a great benefit, which shows that that's very important for Islam to be shown. So they would approach them in the wee hours of the morning, waiting to attack. And this is something that even the disbelievers do. When Homeland Security, or the FBI, or DEA, or the local police want to come and get you, they come before Fajr. They come when you're with your wife. They catch you off guard. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us wisdom. And some of the scholars of Islam, they say that in this surah, the cadence and the rhythm and the style of this surah is like the galloping of horses. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحًا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحًا فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعًا فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعًا بُمْ 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 فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعًا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears again, and they raise the dust in clouds the while. فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعًا, penetrating forthwith. A as one in the midst. Because the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they didn't go on the outskirts of the enemy. They didn't stay on the sidelines of the enemy. But they went right out into the middle and the thick of the battle. فَوَصَصْ نَبِيهِ جَمْعًا دُمُوعًا. They used to go right out into the middle, getting in the mix, as we say colloquially. They would not stay on the outskirts, but go right into the thick of the battle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by those things as a notification and a warning to us to be aware of our duty to Him and to assure that our worship is for Him and Him only. And those things that He's swearing by have honor and have prestige and have greatness in Islam. The horse has honor in Islam. And the disbelievers, they have a saying that the dog is man's best friend. But we say by Wallahi, we swear by Allah that the horse is the one that made history. They say that the dog is man's best friend. But we say that the horse made history, and the dog has that the horse has honor, and the dog has dishonor. The horse has honor because the horse is used to fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the forelock of the horse has honor. Even the hoof prints have nobility in Islam. Even the dung of the horses will gain a person a reward in the next life, as the Prophet's companion Urwa ibn al-Jad radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم الخيل معقود في نواسيها الخير إلى يوم القيامة. Good will remain as a permanent quality in the forelock of horses, meaning meant for jihad, to the day of resurrection. Because it's an animal, brothers and sisters, that's used amongst other things for defending Islam and establishing La ilaha illallah and making uppermost in the land. And we find at the end of the chapter that we discussed last week, that is, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the last two verses. He said, الْخَيْلُ لِي ثَلَاثَةٍ لِرَجُلٍ أَجْرٌ وَلِرَجُلٍ سِتْرٌ وَعَلَى رَجُلٍ وِذْرٌ. He said, the horses are for three. For one man, there are rewards. For another man, there are shields. And for another man, there are burdens. In reference to the man for whom there is a reward, he is the man who keeps them to be used in the way of Allah. Thus they spend their entire life grazing in the pasture or garden, waiting in preparation for jihad. So whatever afflicts them during that lengthy period in the pasture or garden, it will be counted as good for him. Then if their lengthy period is ended and they are used for noble battle or two battles, their hoof prints and their dung are counted as good deeds for him. When they pass through a stream from which they drink, though the owner did not attend to quench their thirst, yet it will be counted as good deeds. Therefore they are rewarded for that man. And a man who keeps them, meaning the horses, to maintain himself and to be independent of others, that is begging from other people, and he does not forget the right of Allah upon their neck and their back, meaning he pays charity and he spends, even though he doesn't go out in jihad, then that will be a shield for him. وَرَجُلٌ رَبَطَهَا فَخْرًا وَرِيَاءً وَنِوَاءً فَهِيَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ وِزْرٌ. And a man who keeps them in order to boast. The man who has all of these horses in order to brag and to show off, then they are a burden for him on Yawm al-Qiyamah, wallahu musta'an. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين وبعد. At the beginning of this surah, dear brothers and sisters of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by swearing by something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدَحًا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحًا. The first 5 verses of this noble surah, Allah is swearing by something. Now, at the 6th verse of this surah, Allah is swearing about something. And that something is the human being. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُوزٌ وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began by swearing by the horses when they make the galloping sound into battle, into the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and they run and they pant. The sound that comes from them, the dhabh, the panting sound when it runs. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He swears about something. First, by something. Then He swears about something. Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. Indeed, the human being is kanood with his Lord. Indeed, the human being is kanood. The ulama of Islam, from the Sahaba and the Tabi'un, they say that kunood is kufr. But it has the linguistic meaning of kufr, meaning ingratitude. That is, that he is ungrateful for the bounty and the blessings of Allah that He provides for him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ar-raziq ar-razzaq, the provider, the sustainer of everything, but increases him in that provision that He gave the human being, it increases him in aversion, and it increases him in insolence, and it increases him in pride, because there are from amongst human beings, there are from amongst mankind, those who transgress the bounds with regards to wealth, then they think themselves independent. Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, Kanood is alladhi yadhkuru al-masa'if wa yansa al-ni'ma wa yansa al-ni'ma. The Kanood is the one who always mentions his calamity while he forgets the blessings of Allah. He's the one that always remembers and mentions the calamity, the misfortune, the mishap, his illnesses, his sicknesses. But he never ever remembers, always forgetting the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as though He's saying, like in another verse, إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Indeed, the human being is unjust to himself and ignorant. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ. And to that fact, He bears witness. And to that fact, He bears witness. He is a shaheed. So the human being is a witness against himself that he's ungrateful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also a witness. Because the scholars of Islam, they differ. Who is shaheed in this verse? Some of the scholars of Islam from the Sahaba, they say that shaheed in this verse means the human being. That he, the human being himself, is a witness that he's kanood, that he's ungrateful. And then there are other scholars from amongst the Sahaba who say that no, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That what they mean, he says, no, it is both. The human being is a witness to his ingratitude, and Allah is a witness to the human being's ingratitude. As Allah says in another verse, يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. On the day when their tongue, their hands, and their legs or feet will bear witness against them as what they used to do. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. And verily, he has a violent, intensely violent love of wealth. Mankind is passionately in love for money. How many times do you find a human being just reaching in his pocket for no reason whatsoever, just looking at his money, just counting his money, just looking at it over and over and over again? He gets out of his car and he turns around, he looks at his car. for no reason. The human being has a violent, intense love for his wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another place he says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ إِنْ تَرَكَ خَيْرًا الْوَصِيَّةُ لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. It is prescribed for you when death approaches you, any of you, that he leaves wealth. In that verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions wealth as khayr. He calls wealth al-khayr. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. And verily, he has a violent love for the khayr. The khayr here means his wealth, because man's intense love for money is well known. And this is why Allah says in another place, وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمًّا. And you love wealth with an extreme amount of love. You will very hardly see, brothers and sisters, someone being saved from great love of wealth. As for the commonwealth, then every single human being loves the commonwealth. But here in this verse, in this noble surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those who have a passionate love for their wealth. Those are the people who hold back their wealth. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in this noble surah. أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. Doesn't he know that the contents of the grave are going to be spit out? Doesn't the human being know that there's going to be a ba'thara? There's going to be a regurgitation of whatever is in the grave. وَحُسِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. And that which is in your chest will be made known. That which is in the heart, meaning the intention, and the intentions of the actions of the heart, like trust and dependence and longing, which involves the travel of the heart towards the desires that it wants, and fear, which is diligence running away from those things like adversity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the foundation of the heart, as he says, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. The day when all secrets, all intentions, everything that was hidden from the human being will be brought forth. Just like those things in the grave that are hidden from us under the ground, وَحُسِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Those bodies will come out of the grave, and those things will come out of the person's chest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this surah, إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khabir. Allah is acquainted. Allah is aware of every single thing. He knows every single subtle issue of everything. And He'll inform us of our actions. He'll inform us that that action was just to be seen, or that action was really for the husband, or that action was really for the boss, or that action was really for the wife, or for the children. So one of the best of occupations, Allah begins this noble surah, is jihad. If a person wants to have a great occupation, it's to fight in the way of Allah and to get the spoils of war. But there is no jihad in the United States of America. And there is no jihad in Great Britain. And there is no jihad in the Western world. There is no jihad. But we do have our job. We do have our job. And we earn money. And since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not allowed us, as He begins and swears by in this noble surah in the beginning, to fight in jihad, He has allowed us to have jobs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that the human being that cannot go out in jihad, sanctioned by the scholars of Islam, sanctioned by the scholars of Islam, sanctioned by the scholars of Ahl Sunnah, not for us in America, that those human beings who can't practice and perform this great act of worship called jihad, those who have jobs, those who earn money, they should reach into their pockets. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khabir. Allah is al-khabir, and He's aware of what is in your chest and why you held back your money. He's aware of why you kept your money in your pocketbook and in your pocket. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the reason. وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. And that which you kept in your chest, for the real reason that you went out of the masjid and you did not put money in the box and you held it to yourself and you kept it in your pocket or you stored it up in your bank account or you kept it under your mattress, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day, every single reason that you did what you did or held back what you held back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khabir. And He's going to inform you. And He's going to let everyone know the real reason why you kept your money. Because you have a violent love for wealth, not spending in the way of Allah. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.